studies say that the average group can only bear about 15 seconds of silence. Most of our church services confirm this. We live in a world of noise and distractions. Most of us fear silence. In fact, silence and solitude are probably the most challenging and least practiced disciplines among Christians today. There's going to be more to come on that. In fact, when I was at the Politics in a Plate this last Wednesday, I was talking with Daryl. What is Daryl's last name? The meteorologist? Richardson. Thank you, Richardson. So, put him on the spot. But yeah, I had great conversation, but we were talking about, you know, just how even his 90-something-year-old mother is always getting worried about this stuff, and he's like, Mom, you got to stop watching so much news. And but we had a good conversation how, you know, God is omniscient. He knows all things, and we do not. And the more I talked with Daryl, the more I realized how true it was. But the point he was making is that, you know, we weren't designed to be able to be consuming so much information and knowing about so many things all at once. You know, it's really overwhelming for us. And I think many of us out here would agree. Now, that's not to say that, you know, I think it's wise for us to be watchmen, you know, the prudent see danger and hide from it. It's good for us to be aware of what's going on in our world, et cetera. But we can be easily just overwhelmed because we're not created to know everything that's going on. You know, it's like now, I read a headline this week, really tragic thing about, I won't even say the details of it, it was so awful, but about 34 people who died, you know, and it was something happening, I think it was in Thailand or something, and just, you know, but, I, you know, 200 years ago, I would have had no clue that was going on. Anyway, so just an interesting thought. I mean, the point is that we are bombarded with noise, with information, with things going on every single day. And today I'm going to talk about appreciating, slowing down, being silent, things like that. For those who don't know me, my name is Paul Letvin. I'm one of two pastors here at Submerged Church. I just want to extend a very warm welcome to you on behalf of myself and Pastor Bob. Thanks for joining us today. I'm going to be sharing today about the daily office, how it's impacted my life, and just how I pray that it will impact your life as well. I've been going through a series on Bible characters, and this is going to start tying into the, you guys remember I talked about young David's character, I talked about the fall of Saul, I talked about faith-filled and faithful Jonathan last week, and I gave little hints of where they were at in their spirituality, whether it was healthy or whether it was unhealthy. Of course, I think everyone would agree, like, yeah, I want to be healthy emotionally. I want to be healthy spiritually, physically. You know, they're all tied together, of course. So this is going to be a little bit of a review for some people. I think it was a little over 3 years ago, we did a summer book study on emotionally healthy spirituality, and I started preaching a little bit more out of it. So some of us might be familiar with it. Some of the rest of us here probably will have no clue, have never even heard of this. You're like, what in the world is the daily office? And maybe there's some other people here like, yeah, I've been doing this for the last 20 years. I've got it nailed. I know exactly what to do when it comes to being silent and still and solitude, et cetera, which is great. But I think it's just good for us to talk about this, that this doesn't get talked about much. So I'm going to pray that God blesses our time. Father, we just humbly come before you here. I pray that you'd give us soft hearts. I pray you'd give us attentive ears. I pray you'd give us open minds, Lord. I pray that we would put even our normalcy bias to the side. What we think Christendom should look like, or what we think is normal, and we'd be willing to hear from your voice, Lord, as we talk about this really ancient spiritual practice, and that you would still our hearts, even in this moment. And we would enjoy being in your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The big idea today, if you learn anything, remember anything, is to practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. And it is something that we do need to practice, just like anything. If you want to be a prayer warrior, it's a muscle that you have to exercise. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't like praying in front of other people. I don't know what to say. Yeah, well, guess what? The first time someone gave you a basketball, you didn't know how to dribble, right? You have to take time to build those skills. And this is no different. And practicing the presence of God is something that all of us can grow in. The more you do it, the better you become at it. If you don't like practicing the presence of God, I don't know why you're a Christian, because we're going to be with God forever in heaven, so you might as well start getting used to being with him now. It's very easy for us to get consumed in our day-to-day to-do list, myself included, and go, and it's like, wow, was God a part of anything I did today? Any decision-making? Any moments of enjoyment? Our family got to go to Maplewood State Park on Friday, and my goodness, probably some of the most breathtaking fall colors I've seen in my 39 and a half years. It was just absolutely beautiful, and I was just like, oh, and I even heard my wife say, you know, many times, oh, this is so beautiful. Oh, so, you know, just many, many times. And I mean, so she was delighting in God's creation, and we were enjoying it together as a family. It was just amazing, you know, being out, away from the noise, away from the screens, and just enjoying God. But it takes time. It takes practice. So the problem, if you've got your bulletin, I've just got some basic subheadings here, and then you can write anything down that seems to be applicable or interesting to you. But so the problem is, most Christians today are struggling spiritually, especially when it comes to spending time with God. If you are one of them, you know that the struggle is real, but you are far from alone. Here are some observations about the spiritual condition of most believers today. So we are feeling stuck in our spiritual journey with Christ. We're living off of other people's spirituality. And I know this wouldn't apply to anybody here, but there are many Christians in the United States where they depend on Sunday morning showing up, having their pastor feed them a big 7-day-long meal, and then they don't do anything the rest of the week, and then they come back and expect to get filled up again. Now, think about what I just said. How many of you on Sunday morning eat a big, huge breakfast, and you don't eat anything the rest of the week? Anybody here? It seems silly, doesn't it? And yet that's what most American Christians do. They say, "Yep, I'll go to church on Sunday and I'll be good to go for the week." Doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like doesn't even work. Even having a quiet time in the morning for 15 to 30 minutes, and then you're good to go for the rest of the day. We're going to talk about how that is even kind of false thinking. Yep, living off of other people's spirituality. We're scattered, fragmented, and uncentered. We are tired physically, spiritually, and emotionally, existing with only a 1-inch deep spirituality. Of course, we had submerged, dive deeper, so I know everyone here has a very deep spirituality in the Lord. Well, we're working on it together, right? Yep. We are praying and communing with God very little. Once again, this is overall the Christians in America. We're busy and not very intentional in pursuing Jesus. We are struggling to stop our life on the run. And Christians, I'm included in this, you know, many of these things. As you guys can imagine, a father with 5 children, and we're homeschooling, and you know, I'm very involved in the community and other things going on. And yeah, I'm a busy guy, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge to have those times of quiet, of stopping and resting and being with the Lord. So the bottom line is that too many of us have a relationship with Jesus that is seriously underdeveloped. We talk to God, or even perhaps at God, but we don't actually listen to him very much. This is a global spiritual crisis, especially when we consider that God intends for us to love, for his love to reach the world through us. You know, we've been preaching that here at Submerge. We want to be salt and light in our community. We want to put our faith into action. We want to be equipped, empowered, and engaged in what's going on, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, if we haven't been listening to Jesus and spending time with Jesus, how are we going to be that salt and that light? Jesus invites us to slow down for loving union. Okay, well, what is loving union? So here's a spot in your bulletin. You can write this down if you want. Loving union is simply to lovingly allow God to have full access to your life. To lovingly allow God to have full access to your life. You know, some of you have maybe seen people with the bumper sticker that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. Well, guess what? Jesus should be the pilot. He's the one in charge. He's the one in charge. Is he in charge in your life? Is he sitting on the throne of your heart? Let's listen to Jesus' words here to Christians in Laodicea and to us, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Now, I know you've probably heard, as well as me, many Christians using this verse as a evangelism verse to reach out to someone who's lost. And yeah, I guess you could do that, but that's not the context of this verse. You know, Jesus is speaking to believers, people who already claim to have accepted him as their savior. He's saying, hey, good morning, Paul. I'm knocking at your door. You gonna come spend time with me? Roll over a couple more times, hit that snooze button. You know, it's like, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus, every single morning, Jesus is waiting for us to spend time with him. Even in the middle of the night, you might wake up and like, man, why can't I sleep? Maybe God's trying to tell you something. Good time to spend with the Lord. So in our loving union, we keep that door wide open. So if we're truly living in a state of loving union, that door is never closed. Jesus doesn't have to knock. He comes up, like, oh, door's open. Yep. And he's doesn't even have to knock. We allow the will of God to have full access to every area of our lives. Developing this kind of relationship with God, it can't be hurried or rushed. God is not a McDonald's drive-thru. I can't even remember the last time I had McDonald's. But he's not a drive-thru. He's never in a hurry. Did you also notice, you know, when Jesus was here, you know, people are going up, oh, you know, this person's sick, and Jesus, oh yeah, okay, like, oh, now they died. Thanks a lot, Jesus. And he's still not worried, you know, and then raises Lazarus from the dead. You know, Jesus is never in a hurry. Never in a hurry. I'm in a hurry, way too much. Developing this kind of relationship with God, as I said, can't be hurry or rush. We must slow down and build into our lives a structure and a rhythm that make this kind of loving surrender routinely possible. Here's another chart, some things to consider. You know you're not experiencing loving union when you can't shake the pressure you feel from having too much to do in too little time. That's me. Or always rushing. That's me. Routinely fire off quick opinions and judgments. I failed at that last night. Wow. Somebody else want to give this? are often fearful about the future. Are overly concerned with what others think. Are defensive and easily offended. If you're sitting like this, you guys know this is the international body language for defensiveness, right? No, I know you guys are just relaxing. Easily offended. Oh dear. Are routinely preoccupied and distracted. There's more. Consistently ignore the stress, anxiety, and tightness of your body. Have you ever thought about that? If you have, like, we know this, like, ulcers come from anxiousness, right? And you get this tightness in your neck. Like, your body's trying to tell you something. Like, hey, you are lacking emotionally and spiritually. I mean, that's what your body's trying to tell you. Feel unenthusiastic or threatened by the success of others. Routinely spend more time talking than listening. What did James say about that? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Proverbs says, where words are many, transgression is not lacking. Even a fool seems wise when he keeps his mouth shut. You know, our boys know these verses, and Noel know these verses. Some things to think about. So now hold on here. I know by looking at this, the outlook may seem discouraging. Some of us might be sitting here, yeah, that's me. I am a terrible Christian. Thanks a lot, Pastor Paul. I'm out of here. But while the problem is real and pervasive for most of us, it is far from a lost cause. Far from a lost cause. How? Well, the answer lies in rearranging our days to integrate the Christian practice of being still and silent in God's presence. So let's talk about this. What is the daily office? The term daily office is it's also called fixed hour prayer, divine office, or liturgy of the hours, many names for it. It differs from what we label today as a quiet time or devotions. So when we listen carefully to most people describe their devotional life, the emphasis tends to be on getting filled up for the day or interceding for the needs around me. The daily office takes place at least twice a day, and the root is not so much about turning to God to get something from him as it is turning to him to simply be with him. You see the difference? When we have our quiet times, like, yeah, I wanna get something out of God, I wanna get filled up, but the daily office, like, no, I just wanna be with God. I just wanna be with, just like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha got all worked up because she was like, we gotta do this. But Mary just sat, was still at Jesus' feet. The goal of the daily office is to pay attention to God throughout the entire day and in the midst of our activities. This, of course, is a great challenge for all of us with the pressures of our busy world and our own stubborn self-will, if we're honest, but it is far from impossible. So the word office comes from the Latin word opus or work. So that's really what it means. So for the early church, the daily office, praying at fixed times throughout the day, was always the work of God. Nothing was to interfere with that priority. It was an act of offering by the creature to the creator. Prayers of praise offered as a sacrifice of thanksgiving and faith to God and as a sweet-smelling incense before the throne of God. That's what it's designed to be. So this practice of fixed hour prayer is one that actually long predates the early church. In the Old Testament, the prophet Daniel prayed 3 times a day. We've talked about that before when I've talked about interposition. Let's take a look at Daniel 6:10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day. And prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. So this was already an existing habit in Daniel's life, to stop and be still and pray before the Lord 3 times a day. Someone that maybe we consider even more spiritual, because he did even more than Daniel, was King David, who practiced set times of prayer 7 times a day. Look at Psalm 119, 164. 7 times a day, I praise you for your righteous rules. And there actually was a moment or a time in my life where I had 7 alarms set on my phone. I started at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then 2 hours later, another one would go off. 2 hours later, another one. And just to remind me to just stop and praise the Lord. You know, so that was even like outside of like my daily office time. It got me in trouble a number of times when I'm in different meetings, like, oh, you know, because even when I have my phone on vibrates or silent, you know, the alarm still comes on, and so then I stopped doing it. But maybe a good habit for people here to think about, you know, yeah, set a little alarm to remind you 7 times a day. Devout Jews in Jesus' time prayed at morning, afternoon, and evening, as Jesus most likely would have done. Of course, we know that Jesus would spend all night praying in many times. He'd get up very early, and he'd leave the house and go off to a solitary place where he prayed. We see that many times, Jesus demonstrating that. So such set times of prayer were one of the Israelites' great spiritual and cultural treasures, a practical way to keep their lives centered on loving God at all times. Even after the resurrection, Jesus' disciples continued to pray at certain hours of the day. A few references for that you can look up would be Acts chapter 3, verse 1, and then Acts chapter 10, verses 2 through 23. Kind of talks about his disciples praying at certain times. So it was about AD 525 when a monk named Benedict created a formal structure for these prayer times that he anchored in 8 daily offices. So this including one for monks in the middle of the night. Prayer was the framework for the day, and everything else in their lives was ordered around it. So prayer was the foundation. Everything else got scheduled around that. That's convicting. Benedict wrote, so here's something he said. On hearing the signal for an hour of the divine office, you know, so they're out working, doing their things. So on hearing that signal for an hour of the divine office, the monk will immediately set aside what he has in his hand and go with utmost speed. Indeed, nothing is to be preferred to the work of God. And meaning that daily office time where they stop, they're still, they do their prayers. All of these people, from the ancient Israelites to the first century disciples, early Christian leaders like Benedict, realized that stopping to be with God by means of the daily office was the key to creating a continual and easy familiarity with God's presence. So routinely setting aside small units of time for morning, midday, and evening prayer, that will infuse the activities of your day with a deep awareness of the sacred, of God. In those moments, you will remember that all time is God's time. There is no division between the sacred and the secular. And I, for one, as someone who has been practicing this for a while, and I've kind of gotten on and off, and et cetera, but every time, you know, I have an alarm that goes off, and it's like, oh, time for daily office. It's never convenient. And to be honest with you, there's many times where I'll snooze for 10 minutes, keep finishing what I'm doing, oh, goes out, you know, it's never convenient. But then the times where I am right in the middle of something, I'm like, okay, and I'm still before the Lord. It's so rewarding because it's like, okay, I'm acknowledging that I am not the ruler of my life. Time doesn't even belong to me. You know, Psalm says, you know, my times are in your hands. And it's just a great way to remember that God is God and I am not. He is the master over everything. Even my time. So that's the beauty of what I've noticed. In those moments, you remember that all time is God's time. There is no division between the sacred and the secular. And some people might think, like, well, wow, Pastor Paul spending hours to prepare a sermon is much more spiritual than me taking the garbage out or changing my child's diaper. And, you know, that's really a lie. You know, when we are constantly in the presence of God, we start doing everything for Him and for His glory. So like my wife staying home and homeschooling our kids and changing diapers and doing disciplines and all this stuff is just as, if not more spiritual than the things that I am doing, you know, going and engaging with other community church leaders and spending times in prayer, reading, et cetera. So that's the beauty. We take every waking minutes, every waking hour of our day, and it all belongs to God. So how do we practice this? I'm going to stop right here for a minute. I know some of you are probably really uncomfortable right now. You're like, oh man, I don't want to talk about this. I hate silence. I've never done this before. Blah blah blah. And that's okay. But I just want to encourage you that I have been extremely blessed by this. In fact, I'll even be as bold to say, had I not learned to do this before the COVID crisis stuff hit, I'm not sure I'd even be a pastor still right now. Like being able to do this helped me keep my sanity throughout all the craziness and the chaos. And as it continues today, it's been such a blessing in my life. So I'm going to practically go through what one would actually do to practice a daily office. And I want us to remember, this is nothing new agey. This isn't like sitting and going, you know, it's like all of that other stuff. You're trying to advance yourself spiritually and raise yourself to another higher spiritual level. This is you stepping aside, submitting yourself to the Lord, and just simply wanting to be with Him. But it's something that we're just not used to for the most part as Christians in America. So I get it if it seems weird, if it seems uncomfortable, but trust me, this is a spiritual practice that Christians have done. For, as I pointed out, you know, numerous passages already, this is something that is normal for Christians who want to be with the Lord. So there's much flexibility. Whose kid is that? There's much flexibility. He's lucky he's so cute. Much flexibility in how the daily office may be practiced. What works for one person will not necessarily work for another. And what worked for you at one time in the past may no longer work for you now. And I've even seen that happen with me. Like, you know, I'd kind of go in the same place, do the same routine, pretty soon started getting a little old. So then I had to change my setting. I had to do it maybe at a little bit different time, go through a different process. So I've even gone through that where I've changed these times that I spend with the Lord. So the beauty of it is that you need to allow grace, not legalism. Allow grace and not legalism to be the foundation for your practice. You choose the number of and length of time for your offices. Maybe you want to do one in the morning for 10 minutes, one in the evening for 5 minutes, and that's it. Maybe you do one in the morning for 3 minutes, one at noon for 3 minutes, one in the evening for 7 minutes. You know, it's just, relationships aren't supposed to be like programmed. You know, this is a real person we're talking about, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ that we're spending time with. But it is good to have some kind of a rhythm that gets developed. The key is regular remembrance of God, not the numbers or the length. So your pausing to be with God can last anywhere from 2 minutes to 20 minutes to 45 minutes. This could be done twice a day, five times a day. It's up to you. My goal is to practice two or three offices a day that are usually anywhere between 7 and 15 minutes. You know, the one in the midday is almost always the shortest because that's when I'm out and about doing busy things. The one in the evening is usually the one that probably doesn't happen if I'm so tired and trying to get kids to bed, things like that. The one in the morning is probably the most consistent and the longest for me, but you know, might be different for different people. So anyway, here are four elements. So whatever you do, here's four elements that typically are found in any daily office, regardless of your approach. And I've got some blanks for this in your bulletin. So number one is stopping. Number one is stopping. That's the first element. So this is the essence of a daily office. What is more important than the number of offices each day is that our time with God be unhurried, so that we read or pray, so that what we read or pray has time to sink deeply into our spirits. We stop our activity and pause to be with the living God. So essential to the challenge of stopping at midday, for example, is to trust that God is on the throne. He rules. I don't. At each office, I give up control and I trust God to run his world without me. So that's really what you're doing. You give up control, you trust God. Number two is centering. Number two is centering. Good verse for this, Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's actually one of my most common go-to verses when I practice a daily office. Psalm 46, 10. Be still and know that I am God. So what does centering mean? Well, we move into God's presence and we rest there. Some guidelines are to be attentive and open, sit still, sit straight. I'd highly recommend not trying to do this while you're lying down in bed or lying on your back. You know, it's really hard to really give anybody your full attention when you're doing that, let alone God. So sit still, sit straight, breathe slowly, deeply, naturally. Me as a music teacher, and you know, I know that you get the most oxygen by breathing in through your nose and then slowly exhale it out, you know, so that helps me just to be more focused. Close your eyes, or you can just lower them to the ground. When you find your mind wandering, let your breathing bring you back. And I know some of you are thinking, see, I knew this was New Agey. This is like yoga stuff where you're breathing. No. This came far, far before any of that other stuff. This is simply acknowledging God's presence. You know, like in Genesis, it talks about how, you know, God put the breath, you know, into Adam. You know, and just, you know, so like when we, did you know that when they spoke the word, the name of God, like in the Old Testament, it was actually like no vocalization. It's just kind of a, you know, it was just like they're like breathing out his name, you know, because like God is the breath of life. Anyway. So as you breathe in, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. As you breathe out, exhale all that's sinful, false, anything that's not of him. You can kind of use that imagery with centering. Okay, number three, silence. Number three is silence. Silence and solitude are the two most radical disciplines of the Christian life, according to Dallas Willard. even more radical than fasting. Solitude is the practice of being absent from people and things to attend to God. Silence is the practice of quieting every inner and outer voice to attend to God. Psalm 62, verse 1 and verse 5. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. And then this is one that we've done with our kids, verse 5. I call it the gimme five. You know, it's Psalm 62, verse 5. It's five sets of three words. So, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. That's how I remember it. Gimme five. Psalm 62, 5. Five sets of three words. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. That's another verse that I'll meditate on when I'm being still before the Lord. So really, this is a revolutionary and countercultural practice to sit in silence. We know that, especially with this next generation coming up. It's like, yep, get me TikTok. What's the next cool video? Do this myself. Always in front of a screen. Go, go, go. Do. And it's like, you take all that stuff away. What do I do? You know, people get bored. I mean, when's the last time you went to a doctor's office or like a waiting room of any kind, and you actually just saw someone just like sitting there and just enjoying the silence? I mean, almost every time it's, right? They're on their phone, you know. What a radical thought to just not be looking at anything and just to enjoy the Lord. It is no small thing. I get it. When you choose to sit in silence and stillness, you are choosing to allow God to be the center of your life. And slowly, you will find that silence will become a natural, normal part in your regular daily life. You'll find yourself briefly pausing for silence, for example, before turning on the car, writing a difficult email, or starting a meeting at work. And I've noticed that. There's been times I'm even in a big hurry. I'll get in my car, close the door. I'm just like, thank you. You know, and just enjoying that moment with the Lord. And like, okay, let's go. You know, and it has started becoming normal. Even the great prophet Elijah could only find God in the silence. If we look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. Now remember, this was after the wicked witch of the West, Jezebel, said, So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. And this was after Elijah called down fire from heaven, proving that God was God and Baal was not, right? And then all the prophets of Baal got killed because they lost. You know, so God just did this amazing work through Elijah. And then this little sassy witch queen gives him a little threat and he flees into the wilderness, you know? But isn't that just like us? We forget so quickly the amazing things that God does for us and then we turn to fear. Anyway, so Elijah's out in the wilderness here feeling sorry for himself. And then here, the Lord is speaking to him in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. That phrase, low whisper, does not capture the original Hebrew translation. The literal translation is a sound, a thin silence. Where that word whisper is, you could plug in a thin silence. Or a sound of sheer silence. My question is, how does one hear silence? But that's where God is. The silence after the chaos for Elijah and for us is full of the presence of God. God did speak to Elijah out of the silence and speaks also to us. While it is not the objective of the office, it's just a natural result. So remember, the goal is, I just want to be with Jesus. I just want to enjoy him. But frequently out of that, you will benefit greatly by hearing his voice in those times of silence. I even just want to praise and acknowledge my brother Bob today. Many of you know, he and Lila, they lost their condo in Fort Myers Beach. It got destroyed. And it was just amazing to see him and Lila in person and getting the text messages and saying, like, I'm just so at peace right now. This is, you know, we're just totally fine. And I've seen it. And it's just been just an amazing living testimony to what God can do in one's life when they are submitted to the Lord and they don't let things get to them. They don't get worked up about, you know, and I was thinking, like, well, if I had a condo in Florida, I think I'd be a little worked up right now. They just got destroyed. And they've just been such a great example. So I just praise you both for that. I know they're never looking for attention, but it's been a blessing to my heart just to see that recent example of what it means to just be at peace, to be still before the Lord, and let him rule, let him control. Lastly, is scripture. So that number four is scripture. So that's the last part that's typically part of any daily office. So the Psalms are really the foundation of almost any daily office book that you'll find available today. They've served as the prayer book of the church through the centuries. Jesus quoted Psalms more than any other book except Isaiah. The prayers of the Psalter cover the entire gamut of our life experience, from anger to rage to trust to praise. A good daily office guide will also lead you to Old and New Testament readings that reflect a balanced diet of spiritual food. So a good option for some of us to conclude each daily office is by slowly and thoughtfully praying the Lord's Prayer. So that's a good thought of how you could end your daily office time. So here's a good example from Psalms and Isaiah, so you can see what I'm talking about. So Psalm 131, verses 1 through 3. This is so good. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. And some of you might be thinking, wow, my children are so loud. but there are those moments when my little Noelle comes running up to me and I hold her and she's just so quiet, just enjoying just being with me. You know, really, that's a small glimpse or picture of what spending time with the Lord is. It's just like, okay, I'm just going to be still and enjoy his prayer. I know the guy who wrote this book, Peter Scazzaro, he's the author of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. This is an example of a daily office book that one can use. But he talks about how his wife, Jerry, imagines, like, God, you know, Jesus just kind of holding her, you know, while she's just being still. So maybe that will help you. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Isaiah 30:15, for thus said the Lord, God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. Isn't that amazing? Another great verse. I love that. Isaiah 30, verse 15. I was even hoping to maybe practice a daily office, but we are running short on time. But just to give you guys a little example, so like the instructions in this, so this is week 6, day 1. I thought it was very applicable for today. But, you know, the instructions, it says silence and stillness before God, 2 minutes. That's another key. You want to start this very slow or you'll give up very fast. I mean, when you just start doing this for the first time, like after 30 seconds, your mind's going to start wandering. It takes time to build up. You know, I've gotten to a point now where, like, I love being silent for 5-7 minutes, you know, and just enjoying that. Anyway, so you start with silence, and then there's a scripture reading, Genesis 2, verse 9. And then 15 and 17 says, in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And here's a short devotional commentary. You know, so you would, if you were with, you could, can do daily office with somebody. So you'd read that out loud if you had a partner or a group. If you're by yourself, you could obviously just read it silently. At the heart of the daily office and Sabbath disciplines is stopping to surrender to God and trust. Lack of trust is the very essence of the sin in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve legitimately worked and enjoyed their achievements in the garden. However, they were called to embrace their limits and not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were not meant to see and know that which belongs to Almighty God. As theologian Robert Barron has argued, the heart of the original sin is the refusal to accept God's rhythm for us. The essence of being created in God's image is our ability, like God, to stop. We imitate God by stopping our work and resting. If we can stop for one day a week or for a mini Sabbath each day, like a daily office, we touch something deep within us as image bearers of God. Our brains, bodies, spirits, and emotions are all wired by God for the rhythm of working and resting in Him. Stopping for a daily office or the Sabbath is not meant to add another obligation to our already busy schedules. It is an entirely new way of being in the world, resetting all of our days toward a new destination, God. And then they have a question to consider. How do you hear the invitation to stop and surrender to God in trust today? And then there's a prayer, and then you would end with 2 minutes of silence. So basically, if you do the 2 minutes of silence at the beginning and the end, read through that, takes about 7 minutes, you know, to go through one of these devotionals. So I'd highly recommend this if you want to get serious about it. Even if you're still kind of like, I don't know, Pastor, this is still really weird. I don't do silence. Okay, well, that's fine. Well, guess what? I've got a free sample guide that I'm going to give to everybody today that I printed out free of charge. And actually, I've gone through this book maybe twice, and then there's another one called Emotionally Healthy Relationships. And then now this is what I've been kind of using as well. But it's got a morning prayer, scripture reading, etc. It's got the midday one and then an evening one. So I'm going to give that to everybody today. So this could be just a good way to, all right, let's try this out. And then if you like it, you know, there's other daily office books too that are not by Peter Scazzaro, but you know, this is an example of what I've used. So anyway, I'm going to give one of these to everybody today. You can try it out. But I'm telling you, Christians, with what's coming, as you all know, in this world, this culture, you know, I believe we're getting very close to Jesus coming back. Many people are saying that, and many people say, well, people, I don't want to get into that conversation, but the fact of the matter is that the world is getting very dark and very crazy very quickly. And if we don't know how to step aside and let God rule, these days are going to be very, very difficult coming this way. So we must learn. And I'm preaching to myself when I say this. I mean, just ask my wife. She sees me get worked up about these news stories and things like that. And so now just tell me to go, Paul, go to a daily office. Thank you. And she'll do it. She'll tell me. But we must learn to practice this, to be still, to be silent before the Lord, so that we have something to offer all of these other people who are going to be losing their minds. You guys, with what's coming, and nobody knows the exact timeline, but it's people that don't have Jesus in their life, they're going to be looking for hope somewhere. And if they don't find it, you guys know what happens when people go to despair and hopelessness, and it's not pretty. And we need to be ready to be salt and light to these people. And if we haven't been taking the time to be still before the Lord ourselves and having that peace and joy in the midst of the chaos and the earthquakes and the storms, we're not going to have anything to offer to these people that are in so much need. So I urge you, I encourage you, you know, as a brother in Christ, as your pastor, do this not just for yourself, because it's good and healthy to have a good relationship with the Lord, but so that we're ready to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. So that's my encouragement to you. So please don't leave without one of those sample guides. I'll hand them out on the way out. We're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. A good way that one can close a daily office. And we're going to sing it. So everyone, go ahead and stand up. Worship team, come up.